Welcome to UMES 30. I'm Brian Daniels, your host. UMES 30 is a half-hour talk show featuring conversations with guests from the University of Maryland Eastern Shore, the local community, and from around the nation. We cover a wide variety of topics that are of interest to you. What you're hearing in the background is the title track to trumpeter John Lampkin's new CD, Transitions. In 1984, John R. Lampkin II recorded and released a self-produced album on vinyl called Hot, a record which I still have in my music collection. That album, with the exception of one track, contains his own original compositions and arrangements. Later that year, Lampkin joined the faculty at the University of Maryland Eastern Shore as a professor in the Fine Arts Department. While there, he directed the UMES Jazz and Wind Ensembles, taught jazz history, and provided instruction to students learning to play brass, percussion, and string instruments. During his tenure at UMES, he played a big part in attracting jazz icons to come work and perform with his students. Wynton Marsalis, Steve Turay, Jimmy Heath, and the late Stanley Turrentine, and many others. After earning his doctorate, Lampkin retired from the University of Maryland Eastern Shore in 2014. His performance credits include events with Sonny Stitt, Stephanie Mills, Frank Foster, and the Manhattans, just to name a few. He currently performs with what he calls his favorites jazz quintet. On this episode of UMES 30, Dr. Lampkin talks about his latest album, Transitions, his first recording in over three decades. How are you doing, Dr. Lampkin? Thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to us about your new album.
I'm doing fine, and thank you for having me.
All right, let me ask you something real quick, though. Now, the last album that you put out was Hot back in 1984.
That's right.
And that was a good long while ago. It's been like over three decades, I believe, or something
right.
like that, right? So why the long wait between that album and the one that you have out now, Transitions?
Because I took the job at UMES in 1984 and didn't leave until 2014.
Uh-huh.
So that accounts for those three decades.
Now, both albums were self-produced, is that right?
That's right.
So going back to 1984 real quick, what prompted you to, you know, get your, you know, band together and go ahead and cut a record?
Well, we had been doing a lot of playing. I had been doing a lot of stuff here in Baltimore at the time. I had a rock band. Actually, it was a funk band. Mm-hmm. But then prior to that, it was like a top 40 band. And prior to that, I had joined a band that was top 40, you know, R&B and jazz. And when I got in the band, we began to play more jazz. But we would play, you know, I guess it was crossover, but I mean, we play stuff like, you know, Freddie Hubbard and Hubert Laws and stuff that people could dance to. So then when that band dissolved, I put a band together and we continued to do the same thing. But we began to do more jazz, not straight ahead jazz, but, you know, like the Crusaders, kind of thing. Stanley Turrentine, his stuff, you know. So anyways, now that band dissolved.
Mm-hmm.
So then I began to do like a freelance thing where I'd hire musicians because I was getting a lot of gigs at the time. And so then a guy approached me about actually doing an album, doing a project, and he said that he'd produce it if I did it. And so then I said, okay, I'll be glad to do it. And so I began to write, and I started writing stuff, and I wrote a tune that I dedicated to Miles Davis, particularly the Miles Davis fusion stuff. And so with that, the mere fact that I was working a lot, the guy wanted to produce me, you know, I started writing, you know, and everything just fell right into place.
Mm-hmm.
And we recorded this album called Hot. And the title track, Hot, is the one that I kind of wrote for Miles Davis. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine, Dennis Chambers, took the chart to Miles. Miles didn't record it.
Okay.
But he said, man, he says, he was playing with Miles and everything. He said, man, give me that chart. I'll take it to Miles and see if he wants to do something with it. Sure enough, did. And Miles saw it, you know. But nothing came of it. But I was pretty flattered.
Yeah, the fact
that he would actually, you know, he thought enough of it to take it to Miles.
Mm-hmm.
And Miles looked at it, I guess, you know. Yeah.
So you've got quite a resume yourself, though. I mean, having played with people like Sonny Stitt and
well, actually, let me tell you what happened with that.
Oh, go ahead. Talk to me. Talk to me.
So I'm playing at the Sportsman's Lounge here in Baltimore.
Okay.
And so, you know, they would have like a session on Saturday afternoons, man, and the place would be packed, man. And so this particular afternoon, I had the session. So I'm playing, and so here comes this saxophone player. I wasn't sure who he was. Here comes this saxophone player with his horn, mm-hmm. you know. He comes up to the bandstand, and he says, "Hey, man, can I sit in?" And so one of the guys said to me, he said, "Man, that's Stitt." I'm like, "What?" So I said, "Sure, you can sit in. You know, Sonny Stitt, come on up." So he came on up, and he pulled his horn out. And so he said, "What are you guys playing?" I said, "Well, we're about to play Seven Steps to Heaven." Now, I knew that he had played with Miles, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, "I don't know that tune, but I'll play it anyway." And so we went into Seven Steps, and he played the You Know What out of it. And, man, so then, you know, and I'm like, "Now, what am I going to play, right?" And he said, "Go ahead and play." And so I played my little thing. You know, and that was amazing, man. And that was how I ended up playing with Stitt. Oh, Stitt played with me. I don't know.
Oh yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? But,
yeah.
We did lock horns there, man, and it was fun, man. You know, having him on the bandstand.
Your new album Transitions, you've got like two different rotations of your quintet, and like there's one number that the sextet plays.
Right.
So. Explain how you got this divided up and why are you calling this your favorites?
Shortly after I retired, I got a gig here in town, and it was a jam session kind of gig. And it was every Thursday at this club which is defunct now. It's called Phase 10. And so it was every fourth Thursday. Okay, so a month would go by, and you know, I'd bring the band in. So I called it the Jazz Workshop, kind of after Charles Mingus's workshop up in New York.
Oh, okay.
So I called it the Jazz Workshop. And so I was there for almost 2 years, man. And every Thursday, man, a lot of guys would show up. You know, we'd play tunes, and it was great, man. And so I began to call all the musicians who showed up, my favorite musicians, particularly the ones who showed up to play free. They would come in, you know, and sit in and play. And a lot of guys, man, sometimes it'd be 15 musicians or more. And so then I hired a group of guys, and the group of guys that I hired ended up being my nucleus, and I'm playing with those guys pretty regularly now,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I didn't want, on the album, I wanted to actually have other musicians who I had also played with.
Okay.
You know, because you know how things go with jazz musicians. If you get a gig, and so you get on the phone, you call guys, and you see who's available, and whoever's
right.
available makes the gig. And so I have a group of guys who I play with regularly, and that's Bob Buda and Michael Harrison, Mike Graham, Jesse. Mm-hmm. Myself, that's my band, you know. But then my son, you know, I definitely wasn't going to put an album out without him on it.
And this would be Mr. John Lampin III.
The third, right,
yeah.
You know? And then I definitely wasn't going to put an album out without my wife on it, right?
And Eartha,
you know?
Yeah.
So, and then I don't know whether you know my daughter, Jocelyn.
I only met her once in my whole life, but
okay.
Yeah, I'm aware of Jocelyn.
Well, her husband is Phil Thomas. Okay. So that's my son-in-law. So I wasn't going to put an album out without them on it. You know
what wow.
I mean? And so then Craig Austin had been playing with me forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back when I had another jam session shortly after Yeah, actually, this was after I joined the faculty at UMES. I had a jam session on Sundays. I would do the gig on Sunday, and Monday morning, I'm leaving to come down to the Eastern Shore.
Right.
And that went on, man. That went on for about 2 years or something like that.
For a minute.
Well, Craig Austin used to come and show up at that jam session on Sundays. And so, you know, and he's been playing with me on and off for a long time. And so I had him on it. And then Chris Fun, who now teaches bass at Peabody,
mm-hmm.
grew up with my son. You know, they all Man. Kind of grew up together, and I've had him on my gigs too. So I said, well, definitely I'll have him on the gig on the CD. So that's how I ended up. And then the piano player, Todd Simon, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, whenever I get a gig, I'd call Todd or I'd call Buddha, you know, and if Buddha wasn't available, I'd call Todd, and vice versa. And so I got Todd on it, and that's the group. Oh, and then Herman Burney is another player who, you know, I call when I get gigs. If my regular bass player is not available, I'll call Herman.
Okay.
You know, and Herman will come and play. And so that's how, you know, I ended up with all these musicians, because I wanted to at least, you know, have the musicians on the CD that had been working with me,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, that I enjoy working with. I mean, I've worked with a lot of musicians here in town, and I enjoy working with all of them. But, yeah, man, so that's how that happened. Oh, and my brother.
Yes,
my brother.
Of course, Martin.
Right. Well, now, he was the band director at the University of Virgin Islands in St. Thomas.
Okay.
Doing the same thing that I did at U of S.
Okay.
He was there for about 26-27 years, trombone player,
mm-hmm.
and so he retires and comes to Baltimore area, and he wrote a tune, VMW,
yes,
just for his wife.
For his wife. So what exactly does that stand for, VMW?
V is Victoria, and her last name was Washington.
Okay.
So the M, I'm not sure, Marie or something. I'm not sure. I'd have to ask her. Those are her initials. And he lost it. You know, he lost it too. We couldn't find it too, and it ended up being in my file cabinet. You know, I was looking for something else, and I came across the tune. So I said, Marty, I said, we're going to record this.
Mm.
And so that's how we recorded that.
Yeah, and I have to say that it's one of my favorite tunes on the album. And speaking of which, too, a tune I believe you wrote, 722,
yeah.
which was on the Hot album back in 84, wasn't it?
That's right.
Explain to me how you came up with that one. What is 722?
Well, that's when I finished it. That was, July 22nd.
Okay, because I've always been wanting to ask you about that. It never crossed my mind to ask you about that until now, but okay.
It was July 22nd, and now I think it might have been 82,
mm-hmm.
because I had been playing it a long time before I actually recorded it, so it was 82. And what happened was a friend of mine, he's since passed, came over to the house one time and sat down and played these changes. These changes were gorgeous. I'm thinking, man, so what are you going to do with that? He said, I don't know. He said, and so when he left, I got to the piano and I, you know, began to play these changes, you know.
Uh-huh.
I just kept playing them. So finally I said, I'm going to do something with this. And so I wrote the melody on top of those changes. So if you notice on the CD, I have John Lampkin and Sonny Folks, but that's how it's copyrighted. It was copyrighted back then, so
mm-hmm.
it's copyrighted by the two of us. So I wrote the melody and did the arrangement, and he wrote the harmonies, the changes.
Okay.
So, and then the introduction. If you remember, Chuck Mangione had a tune out. You know, maybe it was Feel So Good, or it's one of those tunes where he opened it up. The beginning was the head of the tune,
mm-hmm.
but just played really rubato and
right,
stuff.
Right.
Okay, and I said, aha, I'll do that
mm-hmm.
on the beginning. And I just played the melody, and that's it, you know.
Okay.
And at the end of the melody, we go back into the groove, and then we play the melody a couple more times.
Okay.
And solo on it. But put that value right there.
All right. So in case you're just joining us, you're listening to UMES 30. My name is Brian Daniels. I'm your host, and I'm speaking with Dr. John Lampkin about his new album, his new jazz album, Transitions, just out. Also, I want to talk about a couple more of the tunes. Now, there's one that's been kind of boggling me in terms of pronunciation, and it's SOMUMIN3, you dig? You know, you got to help me out with that.
Well, ebonically, okay, ebonically, it's something.
Okay,
you did.
I'm glad. I'm glad you clarified that up.
Something in three.
Okay.
So I got to my Ebonic youth roots, and I tried to figure out how to actually write this.
Yeah.
So Ebonically, it would be right? And so something, U-M is mm, mm-hmm. in three. Something in three.
Something in three. All right, thank you.
Yeah. On the liner notes, I didn't explain it, you know, exactly how I came up with that, you know. It's my attempt to ebonically spell something in three, you know. And so I came up with something. Okay. Something in three. Yeah.
Now, most of these tunes, with the exception of a couple of them, these were your own compositions for the most part.
Right, the originals, yeah.
All right. And then tell me about DeMarket. Now, is this in reference to up in Baltimore?
Lexington
Market.
We played there regularly, and when I say regularly, I'm talking about at least two, maybe three times a year.
Mm-hmm.
And they would actually call me and ask if, you know, what date would I want, because we were one of the more popular bands to play. And the market was unique, and I say was, because they're not having bands there now.
Okay.
And I think they're revitalizing the market, and hopefully it'll continue. So I put that little tune together. Actually, it's a blues when you think about it. It's a 24-bar blues,
right,
kind of thing. And it's interesting enough for the musicians to have something that they can play on. You know, some changes,
mm-hmm.
nice changes, and people can sit and listen because the guys enjoy playing on it. Plus, it has that groove, so people can dance to it.
Right. Exactly.
So that's how that came.
So it's a win-win.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Yeah, for everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now you feature your wife, Eartha Lampkin, on one track, which would be the God Bless the Child track on there. And I have to say, I mean, she does a really knockout job on that one. I really enjoy listening to that.
Them that's got shall get, them that's not shall lose. So the Bible said, and it still is news. Mama may have.
So how did we decide which tune to have her featured on?
I hadn't even thought about what tune that I was going to have her sing.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, why don't you put God Bless the Child in the book. She said, I'd like to do that now. She has, you know, several tunes in the book that we do, but we hadn't done that one.
Okay.
And so I said, aha, that'll give me an opportunity to write a little arrangement on it and feature her on it. And so that's how that came to be. And so I, you know, listened to a lot of recordings of it, got to the piano, and, you know, I wanted to do something that was not like the way Billie Holiday did it, or, mm-hmm. you know, or any of the legendary vocalists. I wanted to do something different, you know, something that would be more crossover into the current feel, you know.
Yeah.
And so I came up with that. But the introduction is reminiscent to the introduction to Round Midnight, and set it up, and then let her take it. That's what we did.
If people want to go out and buy your album, what avenues can they take to get that?
The best thing to do right now, because it's not, I don't have hard copies out. Okay, I plan to do that. But they can get in contact with me.
Mm-hmm.
I think my email is on the CD, or they can get in contact with you, and you can get in contact with me. I do have hard copies here that I can act. I'll be more than happy to send out. But you can get you can download the CD. You can download the whole CD from Amazon.com.
Okay.
The CD is available on YouTube. And also, you can download it from CD Baby or DistroKids. I think I mentioned all the platforms. Oh, yeah, Spotify. You can get it on Spotify.
Okay.
And all of those other platforms.
Gotcha.
It's available. Mm-hmm.
All right. So now, do you foresee actually putting out another project, like another album, anytime in the near future? Or are
you... Well, no, I'm writing now.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah, I'm writing now, and so I just completed a tune a couple of days ago, and then I got a couple of tunes that I've already done, and then I have some ideas for some other tunes. So I figure, man, in about 6 to 8 months, I should have enough material to go in and record.
Okay.
And so I'm hoping, you know, that within another year, you know, that I'll have another CD available with original music. I want to do original music. I'd also want to do a couple of covers, you know, but most of it's going to be original stuff.
Okay. Now, since you've retired from the University of Maryland Eastern Shore, do you find it a very satisfying and very freeing situation for yourself in terms of being able to just go out and play these gigs and have a good time with it?
Well, yeah, and what it does, though, it gives me time to write. I mean, when I was at UMES, I really didn't have any time to sit down and write because I was, look, well, they worked me to death out there. I loved it. I'm not complaining, right?
Right.
But, oh, man, every semester I had overload. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, when I first got there, when I first got there, they asked me, they said, can you teach percussion? I said, yeah. So I taught percussion.
Mm-hmm.
Can you teach strings? I said, yeah. So I taught strings. You know, there were four in the music department, I think. There was Dr. Smith, who's mm-hmm. no longer with us.
Right.
Dr. Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Al McGraig.
Mm-hmm.
And me. That was it. And we had a music education program.
Mm-hmm.
So to have a music education program, you have to have classes in all of the instruments. So Doug Smith taught...
woodwinds, right?
That was it.
Yeah.
He taught woodwinds. And he taught theory, too.
Yeah.
He taught, and I think he taught the history. But as far as the instrumental classes were concerned, that's all he taught. Nobody taught strings except me.
Okay.
Except, and I taught percussion. I taught brass. And then on top of that, I had to handle all of the applied music classes. Anybody who wanted to do strings, that it was me. Anybody who wanted to do percussion, it was me. And of course, anybody who wanted to do brass was me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then I had the jazz history class, if you remember.
Yes,
I had the arranging class, and then I had all those music education classes. So the point is, I had very little time to sit down at the piano and write, you know, and I'm not a piano player, so it takes me time to sit down and try to get stuff together. You know, I get a lot of stuff together first in my head, and one of the things that I'm able to do now is exercise a lot. I get out and walk every morning, and a lot of times, you know, in my walking, you know, I hear melodies and I hear changes and I hear bass lines and I run back to the piano and try to write them down, or I use my phone and sing them.
Okay.
You know, well, I didn't have that kind of time at UMS, not even on the weekends, because I'd leave on Friday and come home.
Right.
And then when I got home, you know, I had the wife and the kids that, you know, that I had that were vying for my attention. And, you know, and then if I had gigs, I had to do that. So I had very little time to sit down and be creative. So what has happened is, as a result of being home, you know, I teach. I mean, I teach privately on Tuesday and Wednesday over at Bill's Music, and then Saturday and Sunday there's a music store in Columbia. It's called Maryland Music Academy. So I teach brass students over there. But I do have more time for the creative process, that I can sit down at the piano and write, and that's what I've been doing, you know. So, so you know, God willing, you know, and the creek don't rise, I'll have another CD out in about a year and a half, hopefully.
Okay, well, I would certainly be looking forward to that.
Well, you'll be one of the first to get it.
Well, thank you very much for that.
Absolutely.
So, one more thing, we're pretty much close to being out of time here, but I was wondering, when people listen to this album, is there anything that you want them to really take away from it? I mean, I understand that one of the principal things about playing music, you know, you want to have fun with it. You want people to enjoy it. But is there something on a, maybe on a deeper level that you want people to take away from that album when they listen to it?
Well, you know, I kind of, you know, I want people to enjoy the music, you know.
Plain and simple.
Plain and simple, that's it, you know. It's nothing else but just, here's some music for you to enjoy. You know, take a minute out of your life and listen and forget all the stuff that's going on and just, you know, get into the music and enjoy. And then there'll be something, hopefully, that you can take away from the music and say, oh, man.
All right. Well, folks, you've been listening to UMES 30. My name is Brian Daniels, and I've been speaking with Dr. John Lampkin about his latest album, his latest jazz album called Transitions. And Dr. Lampkin, has been my absolute pleasure speaking to you about this subject, and it's great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It was my pleasure.
You've been listening to UMES 30. I'm Brian Daniels. Listen to this or any past episode of UMES 30 by logging on to WESM913.org or through the NPR One app available for download on Google Play. UMES 30 is produced in the studios of 91.3 WESM, located on the campus of the University of Maryland Eastern Shore. The views and opinions expressed on UMES 30 are not necessarily those of 91.3 WESM or the University of Maryland Eastern Shore.